Just take up your mat and walk. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!
Well, good evening and welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you once again tonight as we continue our series, Believe My Words. We're looking at John chapter 5, and last week we talked about legalism and what we do with legalism. We've been seeing that thread actually through this whole series. It's the Pharisees, well, they sought to justify themselves by creating laws that they could fulfill and ignoring ones that they couldn't. But here's the problem. If you ever tried that route, and I think all of us at some point in life, maybe multiple points, probably more than likely multiple points, try the legalism route to a degree, try to justify ourselves by what we can do, what do we find? We find we get served up a really burnt, tough piece of meat, a meal that doesn't satisfy at all, and we just say, it's not really doing anything for me. It might for a little while, take that first bite and you're starving and it feels like you're eating something good, but then you start chewing on it and it just becomes more of a chore to eat it than anything else. It doesn't really feel like it's nourishing or refreshing, and maybe in fact it isn't. Maybe all the nutrients have cooked out, like a vegetable that's been overcooked and lost everything good about it. That's legalism. Now, you can see behind me the smoke of the barbecue pit, and I feel a little bit cruel over the summer. I've had this particular spot I've been in a number of times this summer, and if you haven't eaten yet, or you didn't eat a whole lot by the time that we're together, you might think, I bet that smells really good. And if you're wondering, since I can't live stream smell, the answer is yes, it does. And I bet it would taste really good. Well, I haven't eaten it yet, but I'm sure it will, because on nice hardwood, it's going to be delicious meat. I love having the barbecue pit just simmering away, smoking some different meats. They're so good after they've been in there and really gotten seasoned by that hardwood. And like I said, I feel a little cruel because I'm telling you this, and you've been seeing it behind me at times over the summer, and it sort of feels like I'm just rubbing in the fact that there's all this good food and you aren't going to eat it. Well, sometimes doesn't that feel like how it is when we read about God's promises? We read about his promises. We read about how he calls his people to righteousness and he loves his people. And we think there's all these good promises God has for someone else. It's sort of like watching the barbecue pit after you've been gnawing on that tough piece of burnt meat that you just decided you're not even going to eat. And then you smell someone else's delicious barbecue and you think, that's what I wanted to eat. That's what I was hoping to eat, but it's not what I have. And here's the thing, whether it's food or the promises of God, what we want to know is that we're not just seeing it, but we're actually going to taste it. We're actually going to experience it. Because as nice as it is to see something wonderful cooking, it's not really all that wonderful if you're never going to eat it, is it? And it's wonderful to hear God's promises and how much he loves his people. But if you don't feel like a part of that people, if you aren't a part of that people, it's not really all that wonderful either. But tonight we're going to think about what it means to be a part of God's people, the promises that Jesus has for us, because God isn't content to leave us just seeing and not tasting. So let's pray tonight that we would experience what it is to taste God's goodness. Will you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Lord, we come with various burdens. We come with things that weigh us down. We come weary. We come to you and ask that you would refresh us and strengthen us with your word. And would you help us to see these promises you've placed in here, not just for someone else, but promises you've placed in here for us. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we're going to start in John 5:25 tonight, and if you want to turn there, here's what we read. truly I tell you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Jesus is talking about resurrection there. And what he wants the people that he's interacting with, and to an extent they'd agree, they're Pharisees, they believed in some sort of resurrection. He wants them to really be thinking about eternal life. If we're looking at some prepackaged, shelf-stable food, some, say, peanut butter crackers or something, they're not bad. But if you see that smoker going, you're not going to be satisfied with just a few crackers off the shelf. And likewise, we shouldn't be satisfied with some just little prepackaged, less than full, hearty, complete, nourishing, delicious picture of what God's going to do. And here Jesus is saying, you Pharisees, yeah, you believe in the resurrection, but what you've been really focused on is your righteousness. You're not looking at God's promises, you're looking at yourself. Let's talk about God's promises. God wants us to know. He wanted them to know, he wants us to know that we have hope of eternal life. That it's not just about something that we can kind of make do with right now. What he's going to do ultimately. But this also goes back to what we were talking about last night as we've been going through Psalm 10. Because as we live in this life, we say, well, okay, that's nice. Someday God's going to make something better for us, allow us to experience something, maybe, although it doesn't always feel like it. For the Pharisees, it didn't always feel like it. The Romans were dominating over them, and to the extent they were going to be able to function, what did they do? Well, they made peace with the Romans. They didn't necessarily like it, but it's what you did. A lot of times that's how we feel today. We make peace with the situation we're in. That's not always a bad thing. It's practical. But it feels like, okay, this is just, it's not really good, but I'll survive. Is that all God really intends for us? Well, as we saw last night, the key thing isn't that he's going to always fix the situation. Sometimes he's going to say, you're going to live under Roman oppression. Sometimes you're going to live in a situation where your job feels like it's on the line, or where you feel like you just can't control all the circumstances of life and it's just overwhelming. But in those times, he's calling us to experience that, yes, there's something better in the midst of it, and that's God's love that he has for us. That's what the psalmist saw in Psalm 10 last night as we were looking at it, and it's what we see here as well. Because as we see here, what Jesus wants the Pharisees to be thinking about is how real and eminent God's promise is. The hour is coming and is now here, he says. So, has everyone been resurrected at this point? No. Was there a mass resurrection? Well, we're told that there were some cases of resurrection around Jesus' crucifixion. We know a little further along in Jesus' ministry, between where he is here in John 5 and the resurrection and crucifixion and resurrection, there's the resurrection of Lazarus. So there are a few cases, but full, complete resurrection, no, that hasn't happened yet. But Jesus says the truth of it is here right now. It can be experienced right now. Because if our hope and our experience of something immediate is God makes everything that we're going through perfectly right now, yeah, it feels like it's a long way off, and it doesn't happen right now. But that's not where we have to land. If we're talking about experiencing God's promise, his faithfulness for us, his intent to do it that's so real, even if it's in the future, that we already can feel it, well, that's different. It's like when you know that the food on the smoker is food that you're going to eat. And so even though you're waiting, it's a whole lot more enjoyable because you know it's for you, has your name on it. If you were coming over for some barbecue tonight, you probably enjoy seeing that smoke rising behind me more than you are right now, because you know it was for you. What does Paul say over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? We take a look there. Paul is talking about what people are experiencing as some of the believers have already died. And it's sort of like, well, what about these promises God made? He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Paul says there, you don't, it's not that you shouldn't grieve at all. He doesn't say don't grieve. He says don't grieve like those without any hope. Because there's a present hope. There's something you can experience. That's why we go to passages like that when we have a funeral. Because at that moment, the reality feels like that burnt piece of meat at best. It actually feels like burnt, moldy meat. God says, I want you to know that the hope I have for you is so real that even when you're just seeing smoke and you're not actually tasting the meat, there's already something with your name on it. It's already waiting for you. And so keep anticipating. Sort of like when we're watching a movie and you put in that movie and you get attached to the characters and you're hoping for a resolution, right? There's someone who's a hostage. There's someone that's sick, but you think that person's going to get better. There's all this confusion. There's this anger because of this miscommunication that's happened. There's all these horrible things, and you're thinking it just needs to resolve, right? Or maybe the supervillain is about to destroy the world, but you know somehow the superheroes are going to come around and solve it. But one thing, it wasn't really the case if you're watching it, say, on VHS or in the theater, but if you watch it on digital download or DVD or something like that, you often know how long the movie is. And you can see the counter clicking down and you think, okay, there's this problem and there's this problem and there's this problem. How's it going to all resolve? It doesn't seem like it's going to be able to be resolved. Now, we could conclude this is some kind of existentialist angst type film, and it's going to be that none of it resolves, right? It just ends and it leaves us there hanging. And we've probably seen movies like that. We thought there was going to be this nice ending, and it just leaves us with someone weeping or screaming or something. It's sort of like, oh, that wasn't what I was hoping for. Now, somewhat less than fully satisfying, but better than that, is when the lights go dim and the music swells up and it says, to be continued. You say, well, I was hoping to know how this was going to go, but at least I know that there will be resolution. And I think it's going to be good. And one thing we have to ask ourselves as we're reading God's word and we're reading about these promises is, are we expecting God's story, his movie, his masterpiece, to end with someone screaming and crying and it just ends? Because I think sometimes that's how we functionally live. Or are we expecting that even if for maybe our entire lifetime it's really a to be continued, that at least it's going to be so good that we're okay with that? When I know I'm watching part one of a movie, and I know it's not going to get done in that one film, but I already know there is that second part that's waiting, it's a lot better than if I don't know that. Right? Okay, I know it's going to end. I just hope that I get a little bit more of a satisfying thread understood before it comes to that particular conclusion. And it's okay in our lives if we hope, well, I hope God lets me see a little bit more of his plan. I hope I see a little bit more of this, or maybe even this or that issue, you know, is resolved in my lifetime. But the key thing is, do we understand that there's a to be continued? Or even better, and this is where God's plan, his story, is so much better than a movie. It's not really a to be continued, but a to be seen. Here's the truth of that barbecue pit. There's meat in there. You might not see it, but it's there and it's cooking. And so too it is with God's promises. We can't see all of them being fulfilled. We can't see the resurrection, the ultimate resurrection happening, because we're not there yet. But as far as Scripture is concerned, because God has already executed his plan and nothing will thwart it, it's a to be seen. It's not a to be continued. It's already happened. God's decisive action has already happened. Nothing will stop it. Not for you and not for me. We trust in him. We can look forward to that great ending. Just to be seen. But because it's to be seen, it's already happened. Well, we don't need to keep living like it's something that might happen, or even, yeah, it will happen, but it's not here. Jesus says here, I tell you, truly I tell you, an hour is coming and is now here. It's now here. It's here for you and it's here for me because it's so real. It's to be seen. We can't see it yet, but the reality is already there. And as we hold on to our God, as He strengthens us to hold on to Him like we were talking about last night, we can live with it as reality rather than just hope. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do that through Jesus. Eternal life comes only through Him, and that's what we see if we turn to verse 26 of John chapter 5. It says, "For just as the Father has life in Himself, so also He has granted to the Son to have life in Himself." That sounds a little bit like a riddle, doesn't it? Father has life in Himself, Son has life in Himself. What does that mean, and what does that really do for me? Well, the Pharisees understood. Made them upset. What Jesus is saying there is that God, every philosopher who's reflected on some ultimate God has come to this conclusion. God has existence in Himself. Nothing else created Him, right? Sometimes people say, well, who created God? Nothing. That's what makes Him God and not anything else. He's the one thing that has no prior thing, no prior cause. He simply is. And that's why we call Him God. That's why He is ultimate. And Jesus says, by the way, that's true of the Father, it's also true of the Son. In other words, I'm God. I have the power of life because nothing has given me life. I am life. Why is that important for us to hear? Most important for us to hear so we understand who Jesus is. But it's also important for us to hear because if we're going to take seriously what He's promising, well, we need to know He can actually do it, right? Sometimes you watch that movie and it has that cliffhanger ending. And the awful thing is the movie doesn't do very well. Not very many people go see it, or people didn't like it. Maybe you really liked it. You're attached to those characters, but didn't do so well. And so there's a big question mark. Yes, it was planned there would be a continuation, but will it happen? And if Jesus was just granted some contingent access to eternal life that He could give out, but if He doesn't do things right or He isn't good enough or whatever, it won't really happen. Well, it's sort of like watching that film that you know kind of was a box office flop and wondering if you'll ever know what happened to the characters. But Jesus says, you don't need to worry about that. There's no chance I'm not going to live up to my calling, being who I should be, because I have life itself. I am God. And so what I say, it's going to happen. It really is to be seen in a way that even this meat behind me isn't. Because that meat, well, it could burn. It could become that burnt piece of meat. It could turn out that it had been in the freezer too long and it's not really fresh. It's all freezer burnt and doesn't taste very good in that way. It could fall off the plate as it goes into the house and land on the deck, and then the raccoons or possums or whatever else might be roaming around will eat it, but I won't, right? All those things are possible. But nothing like that's going to happen with God's promises if you trust in Him. Truly, truly, I tell you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Son has life in Himself. And those who die, including us if we die before Jesus returns, when His voice cries out, we will experience physical resurrection. Why? Because He is the one with life in Himself. Now, He shows a preview of that later on when Lazarus is resurrected. That's a foretaste. But Lazarus dies again. He shows an even more amazing preview of that when He is resurrected, when Jesus Himself goes to the cross, dies for us, and then triumphs over death. But we can say that bell might ring for Jesus because He's God, right? Of course, it works differently for Him. But will it happen for us? But over and over, Scripture says that thing that we see with Jesus, since He does have the power to give life, He's going to give it to us as well. He has the power to do it and to experience it fully. A lot of times we think we have power in a situation. I think that's why we find legalism so attractive, because it gives us power in a situation. But does it give us the power we actually want? Probably by now we've all heard or seen the viral event over the weekend, a baseball game where a woman became very angry when a dad caught a ball or picked up a ball and took it over to his son, who was there for the son. They were there for the son's birthday, and the little kid was all excited there at the ball game, and now he has a ball that his dad caught, and dad gives his son the ball, and it seemed like it could have been a heartwarming moment. But there's this woman there who becomes very angry because she wanted to try to catch that ball, and she must have felt like the dad went over too many chairs in the empty row trying to get the ball. And so she comes over and she's yelling at the dad, and she grasps the dad's shoulder, and she's just incredibly angry. And ultimately the dad, realizing it's not worth the scene, he picks up the ball he'd given to his son and he gives it to the woman. Seems like might wins there, right? It seems like just doing what we have in our own power wins. But the beautiful thing about that story, there's a lot of ugliness to it. We could explore some of that, show some of the darkness in our own human psyche, where now the internet is trying to absolutely destroy this woman's life. She acted badly, but they're not going for, you really should be more polite at a baseball game. No, they're going for utterly destroying her life. Well, that certainly shows how we try to take that power into our own hands. But the only people who had power to really make an amazing baseball experience, the people who run the team in the stadium, well, they became aware of it during the game, and they took the little boy on his birthday into the private parts of the stadium where you can only go by invitation. They took him in there, and he got to meet Harrison Bader, the former St. Louis Cardinal, now on the Phillies, and he got a signed bat from Harrison Bader. He got other merchandise from the team. He got to actually be with the VIPs. He got so much more than the baseball. He got to see his dad get that baseball for him, but then he got all this other stuff from the only people who can actually say, here, experience the fullness of the stadium. I even heard, and I believe this is true, that one legendary Phillies player has now invited the little boy to get to go to the World Series this year, whatever team happens to be playing in the World Series, with him as his guest. This little boy's gotten all kinds of things that his dad could not have gotten for him. His dad couldn't go catch that or pick it up or run fast enough to obtain it. But those who have the power, the people who have the tickets and the VIP access, well, they do, and they gave it. What Jesus is saying to us is, I want you to understand that I have that VIP access. I'm the one who has control over life. And I'm telling you how you can have it, right? In that case, it's all the cameras and attention that happened there. It ended up being that people became aware who had power. But Jesus says it's even easier than that. As the Spirit nudges on us, he leads us to call out to him. What do we read in Romans 10? Well, we read that it's all about responding to what he says. Romans 10 verse 8, on the contrary, what does it say? The message is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We don't have to hope that the cameras capture the viral moment or someone feels sorry for us. All who call out on the name of the Lord are saved. He brings us into the VIP private section of the stadium, and he hands us something better than an autographed bat. He hands us his love. He hands us his life that he can offer. And that happens right now. Sort of like that World Series ticket. That boy isn't at the World Series right now, but if you have a legendary baseball player invite you and give you a ticket, well, you know you're going to be. And so there's a reality that you can enjoy even now. It's not, I hope maybe I get to go to the World Series. How much more so with God? When he invites us in, that bell that rang for Jesus, it rings for us too. And it says, come in. You're here. And you're here now. We might still be living this life and the difficulties, but we know the promise. We know the promise is reality. We know we can taste it. It's like when that meat is cooking behind us. I hope I have you hungry right now. But you find out, wait, Tim invented live streaming meat delivery and it's going to materialize in the chat and I can hit the button and it'll be in front of me and I can eat it. Well, God has provided life delivery. He gives it to us. And it might still be that he's going to let us on the smoker a little longer We're going to fulfill more of our purpose in this life. But we already know what's real and true, that he's going to provide it to us. And we're not just seeing, we're not just smelling, we are going to taste. And in fact, because his love is there with us right now, we can taste right now. I want eternal life, I might say, you might say. But what about right now? Well, his love is there right now. All the way back before even the resurrection, before Jesus' earthly ministry even. All the way back in the Psalms, what do we read in Psalm 34:8? We look there. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him? You might say, well, I don't feel like I can taste God right now. Any more than I can taste what's cooking back there, Tim. You've been making me hungry, not offering me any food. Feels like God's been making me hungry for eternal life, and he's not offering me any food. But what did the psalmist have in view? And what did Jesus have in mind when he said, this day is here now? That the real comfort comes in knowing our God's with us. There's the comfort. That we can experience him right now. We can taste and see how good he is right now as we read these promises and know that our God is with us, not in the future, not someday, right now. And he'll hold on to us. He's not going to let you go. If you trust in him, he won't let you go. He'll strengthen you. Every time we gather with God's people, we experience the goodness of our God, that he's made that gathering, that he's brought us together to encourage each other. As we encourage each other as Christians, we experience that goodness. As we take the Lord's Supper and we're reminded of what God has done, and we're nourished by the Holy Spirit, we're reminded of how good the Lord is and how good it is to taste and see that the Lord is good. These things are there for us right now. Yes, Jesus is talking about eternal life here. And if you're healthy and no unforeseen emergency happens, it might be the eternal part of that. It's quite a distance still in our experience of time. I'm thankful for that. I want you all here with me next week and to enjoy that fellowship with you. But don't let that fool us into thinking we can't taste the goodness of it right now. Because God says, taste and see. My refuge, my security, my comfort is here, and it's here right now, and it's here for you. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we do pray that you'd help us to experience that. It's hard for us to experience your goodness at times. We get so focused on the individual problems and how to solve them and what are we going to do next and worrying and struggling. It's sometimes really hard, Lord. But would you remind us that you're here? As we're with your people, as we're in your word, as your spirit dwells in us, would you remind us that you're here and we can taste your goodness, your care right now, not just in the future, but right now. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I hope this has been an encouragement for you. And if it has, please do give it a like and a share. Someone needs to hear this message that eternal life isn't just about some wishful thing in the future, but understanding that God's refuge is a refuge we can be in today. So please, you hear me say this every week, but please do hit that share button. Someone needs to hear this. And then come back next week. We'll keep digging into this. But in the meantime, come back on Thursday. We have the prayer walk coming up, and I really hope that you come and take part in that on Thursday, all day, starting at 8 a.m. Central Time, running all through the rest of the day and into the night. Come join us. You can come and be there for 5 minutes. You can be there for 60 minutes. You can turn it on all day like I like to do. But if you can't do that, just turn it on, even if it's just for a minute. Experience some of the sights and sounds. You'll hear from wonderful people around the world sharing God's word, his hope, with us and guiding us into areas of prayer. Be opportunities to pray. There'll be prayer prompts on screen for all kinds of different prayer needs. And then in the chat, it'll be live streaming all day on our usual platforms. You can go into the chat on any of those, post a prayer request, and the rest of us that are on with you, well, we'll be praying for you, and you can pray for us, and it'll be a time to experience those different aspects of God's love roaring in. And that jet might be loud right now, but I'll tell you what. God's love on those prayer walk days is so much louder because we see God's people caring for each other. We're reminding each other of how much our God cares for us, what we find in his word, That's a wonderful blessing. So please do make plans to be there, and please invite someone. Tell someone about it. If you've been to a prayer walk before, especially, and so you already know what I'm saying, let's tell someone that you haven't before. Hey, come turn on the prayer walk. I know you'll bless them by doing it. If you have any comments or questions about how to get into the prayer walk, join us for Bible study tomorrow night, you need prayer, you have a question about what we've been talking about, anything like that, of course you can leave it in the comments below or at the address that you see on screen, that texting line, just 833-356-4032. Just text in 833-356-4032. We'd love to hear from you, love to pray with you. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and I'll see you again very soon.